Well, good morning, everyone. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, some of us are going crazy with this isolation. Other ones of us are doing all right, but we are all in the place where this is a funky season for us in our lives and with our families and with our country and with our city. And I ask you, Lord, that this morning, that you would come into each one of the places where we are, that you would dwell in us in a manifested way, that we know that we sense your presence and we sense you speaking to us directly. I love the way that you do that. I love the way that you can, no matter what I'm talking about, you have that unique way by your Spirit that you could speak to each person in that personal way that we know that we're hearing from you. I'm asking for that. So come and meet us through this time in your word. Give us more vision than we have now. I ask all this, Jesus, in your name and for your sake and your cause. Amen. There was a song that came out in the mid-80s by a singer named Billy Ocean. It was called "When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going." It was actually a pretty snappy kind of a tune. I loved it, but it's a great kind of a title. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Now, the idea behind that is that we have a choice of how we're going to meet the hardships and the things and the troubles that come into our lives, that we can kind of lay down to it and just kind of cower, or we can actually engage with some courage and kind of find our toughness. Similar kind of a thing that Robert Schuller said with the title of his book, "Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do." When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So when this going and when your going gets tough, like now, how does your tough get going? How does that work for you? Now, if I'm honest, and I've said that for me, my instincts don't necessarily serve me very well when it comes to these different kinds of circumstances. You put some pressure on me like this when the going gets tough, sometimes I'll run. I mean, I just want to actually bolt the place, but I will run. Sometimes I'll run inside of myself, but I will want to run. And that doesn't seem like that would be my response to that, but it very much is inside. Now, I remember this joke from years ago that was two men actually ran across a mad grizzly bear in the forest, and one guy turned around and ran, and as he was running, the other guy who was standing there yelled at him, "You can't outrun the bear," and the guy said, "I know, I just have to outrun you." And from that, I run. The going gets tough, I run. Now, I've got another bunch of du jour types of responses to when the going gets tough. I might get pricked or withdraw inside of myself. I have found myself in this time getting kind of prickly. Maybe you have as well. I don't know. I also find that when the going gets tough, sometimes I'll get really controlling because I'm trying to control the variables because life feels out of control. But when the going gets tough, I find myself actually getting kind of negative, and I really have to check in with God and with what's true when these times get tough. And so from that, how about you? When the going gets tough, what do you do? How do you react? How do you respond? When this going gets this tough, how are you responding? I've talked to some of you that have basically said, "I'm just super annoyed right now." Other ones are becoming kind of, you know, sort of actively, it used to be passively nonconformist, but now it's like, you tell me if I have to be inside, I'm going to go outside. Some of us are, we get angry. Some of us are, we withdraw, just like I said that I do. Other ones of us, are just super uncomfortable with being with our families and being with the ones that we love all the time because we didn't choose it. How do you respond when the tough gets going? As I was sliding into this time of social distancing and the coronavirus pandemic, as I was coming into this initially, in the very early stages, I thought I would ask God, what is it that you are looking for from me and from us as a church in the midst of this crisis? What how do you want us to respond to this? And the Lord actually spoke to me in a way that was pretty counterintuitive to me, because in this, I'm trying to think survival. And the Lord spoke three very simple words to me that have really very much altered my whole perspective about how all of this works. He said these three words: expand your reach. Expand your reach. And when God speaks something like that, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but when God speaks something like that, it's just an explosion of imagination and thoughts and ideas that begin to flood and cascade into my mind and ping pong and popcorn all over the place. Expand your reach? Wow, Lord, what do you mean by that? And my mind immediately went to the fact that we have Ali Kasaza in our church, who is an internet phenom in this whole thing, and she has actually, through social media, built a rather large company and does really great work and is able to do all kinds of things that had been in her heart before. And she has talked to me about expanding our reach within the social media network and those different kind of ways, of which I've just said, I'm kind of intimidated by that. I don't really want to. But as the Lord spoke that in, expand your reach, I have to tell you this morning that this coronavirus did not catch God off guard. It didn't catch him off guard. In fact, he has been working all along. Now, I'm not saying that he sent this, but I am saying that there's never a time ever that the Lord is not working. And so he's in the process of doing something. And at this point in time, he's saying, I want you to join me in work already in progress. I want you to join me in expanding the reach and I want you to work at expanding my family. Now, as we think about this kind of idea, this is really not new. This idea of crisis and opportunity. Crisis and opportunity. It's interesting. Jesus is murdered for his message. Then his disciples they're intimidated because they think they're going to get the same treatment, and actually some of them do. But instead of cowering, they step out. Instead of just staying put, they actually reach out. They expand their reach. And interestingly enough, what Jesus says on the heels of his resurrection is this. This is Mark's version of the Great Commission. It's beautifully simple. He says it this way: go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Everywhere and everyone. Everywhere and everyone. And then Luke, in his companion volume to his gospel, the book of Acts, basically records Jesus saying it this way. Jesus said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You'll be my witnesses. So this business is supposed to reach everyone, everywhere, and that's what God has brought us into. That is, my friends, the family business. So when we say this, though, I think that I can imagine the responses of the early church, of a lot of the early Christians. But wait a minute. You know, there are people out there that want to kill us. Well, I mean, we have very few resources. We don't have a lot. If any of the discipleship troop are actually, the disciple troop are being honest, they got to say, hey, we're not exactly the sharpest tools in the shed. We're going to have ruffians and ragtags and nobodies. And Jesus looks at them like he looks at us and says, expand your reach. Expand your reach. Would you say that with me? Expand your reach. Now, it's revival time in Jerusalem. The Spirit of God has been poured out. People are coming to Christ like crazy. It's one gigantic Holy Spirit party. People are sharing everything that they have. There's not a needy person among them. There's all of these beautiful things going on in Jerusalem. And I want to say that I think that the church is pretty happy with themselves over it, because this is beauty. They didn't expect that it to be this beautiful and this kind of equal and this kind of community no one had a vision for before Jesus died and rose. But interestingly enough, they're still in Jerusalem, but that's not what Jesus said he wanted for them. They're in Jerusalem having a Holy Spirit party, but they're not going out beyond Jerusalem. And at this point in time, the Christian movement is pretty much a Jews-only club. It's just a Jews-only Jewish forms of everything. And while that is really good, God had much bigger plans. I want to say that to you one more time. God had much bigger plans. He always has much bigger plans. He's always thinking, he says, I want many, many, many more people adopted into my family. I want them in my family, and I'm going to use you to go get them and to proclaim that I have said, Ollie, 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 free, come to me, come to me. I've made a way for them to come to me. I've made a way for them to come to me. And so he wants the weird and the artsy. He wants the white collars and the tank tops. He wants the surfer dudes and the CEOs. He wants the plenty and the poor, the hip hoppers, the grungers, the emos, and even the rappers. He wants all of them in his family. He wants all of us in his family. He's so accepting and so diverse, and he takes all kinds of people from all kinds of ways of life, all kinds of brokenness, and he incorporates them into this thing that he calls his family. Wow. He says to us today, expand your reach. Invite more people into our family. He doesn't say into my family because his family is your family. He says, invite them into our family. And then, what's interesting, in the midst of this revival that's going on in Jerusalem, something unexpected happens. An incredible amount of hatred and persecution starts against this very fresh and beautiful and alive group of believers, and it gets really dangerous to be there in Jerusalem. And so even a prominent member of the church, a prominent leader of the church, Stephen, he's publicly killed in a very nasty way. And it says this coming off the heels of that, and Saul, who we know later will become the Apostle Paul, and Saul approved of their killing him. This is Acts chapter 8. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all, except the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them into prison. Those who had been scattered, listen to this here. This is important. Those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. Philip went down to a town in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there in Samaria. Now remember, nobody in Jerusalem wants to be in Samaria. Philip goes to the ghetto. He goes to the place that no one else wants to go. And he goes there and he preaches the gospel. Has great favor from God. The Lord's like, yes, now we're getting on to the business of what I wanted you guys to be about the whole time. Now, I think that if persecution happened in our day, we would just want to wave the banner of human rights. It's like, no, what about our rights? But the church doesn't care about that. What the church cares about is getting on with the business that the Lord actually set them apart for. And so I think, and this is conjecture, but I think I'm within the bounds of Scripture in this, that the Lord just let the lion off of the leash, so to speak, so that the persecution and the heat started to get the church out of Jerusalem, to get them back in the game, so to speak, because the church was just having, if you're on a playing field type of an analogy, they're having a great party at the bench, and the Lord's like, the action is on the field. That's where I want you guys. And so the Lord said to them, expand your reach. And then this little church movement, this church that moved in just this very little private kind of faith thing, it turned into a movement that changed the world. But they had to get out of Jerusalem to change the world. If they would have stayed in Jerusalem, no world change. No, God had to get them out of Jerusalem. And, well, turn up the heat a little bit and now we got him out of Jerusalem. Now the action is happening. Expand your reach. What am I trying to say this morning? What I believe that the Lord is really calling us into is he's saying that I see opportunity in crisis and trials and trouble. That God sees opportunity in those things. He doesn't see that, oh, the world is coming to an end. Oh, I could die. Oh, this lack and that lack could overtake me. No, instead, what he says is, I want you to start seeing these different crises that happen in our culture as opportunities for God to do something amazing. I mean, amazing. Not just something mild-mannered, but something amazing. But I think that for a lot of us, I think a lot of us want to say, Lord, we'll do anything you want us to do. You just open the door. The problem is that we think that when God opens a door, that he's also going to provide a 400-mile-an-hour tailwind to push us through the door, and somehow we're not going to have to make any choices, and somehow there's going to be no friction. That simply is not the way that the work of God ever goes forward. I love the way that the Apostle Paul records this in 1 Corinthians. He's speaking to the Corinthians, and he wants to be with them really badly, but he says it this way in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. And we'd all be like, yay, yay, a wide door of effective work. But listen to the second part. And there are many adversaries. Or another way of putting it is a wide door is open and there are many who oppose it. Both of those things, both of those translations work. So listen to the elements of this opportunity. Wide door. Lots of openings, receptivity, results to celebrate, success to invest in, all of these different things. It's very satisfying. But at the same time, there's all of this dogged persecution that continues to come Paul's way. And Paul doesn't say, gosh, this must not be the Lord because it's not going so easy. No, instead what he says is, well, we got to go ahead and do this. In fact, what we see in the book of Acts is that after Paul preached in a number of different towns where there was a significant Jewish population, there was a group of committed Jewish people that followed him around to bother him every place that he was. At different points in time, they beat the heck out of him, left him for dead, but they would not leave him alone. I believe that that's the thorn in the flesh that Paul's talking about later on in 2 Corinthians. Is this people, I just cannot get rid of them. And I asked the Lord to get rid of them, but he said his grace is sufficient for me, but these people are keep on coming at him, but it's not stopping him. Expand your reach. Would you say that with me? Expand your reach. This is what the early church's mandate was, and that hasn't stopped. This is how the kingdom of God expands. When people are in need, they become receptive to the master. It's kind of incredible. There's a phenomenon going on at this point in time, and all of the leading indicators technologically are that there's a hunger that people are experiencing for something with meaning in the midst of this crazy crisis that we're in. And these are, you know, you could say, well, this really isn't something all that significant, but the YouVersion of the Bible app on your phone and on your digital technology, the downloads of that have gone through the roof. It's crazy how many people are downloading the Bible that weren't doing that before. It's interesting that online church, as much as we want to say, well, that's not church, online attendance is actually going up in the United States. That at this point in time, that growing churches were somewhere around the 10 to 19% of all churches in America were that. At this point in time, we're at 49% of churches in America are growing right now with an online presence. What on earth is that? God is doing something, and he's saying to us, church, us, Springs Community Church, I want you to participate. I want you guys to join me in work already in progress. Expand your reach. Again, say that with me. Expand your reach. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is part of his agenda for writing the letter is he's trying to encourage the Corinthian church to take a large offering because they're an affluent congregation. He wants them to collect an offering to send with Titus on to the church at Jerusalem because the mother church is going through a famine at that point in time, that whole area, and they're taking a collection to go and take care of their family that's distributed outside of where they are. And interestingly enough, Paul has gone from the northern part of Greece, which is called Macedonia. That's where Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica are in the north. And he's writing to the Corinthians, which are down in Thrace in the southern part of Greece. And as he's coming down through the northern churches that are poor, they give these incredible gifts. They want to participate in this. And he's trying to use them to motivate the Corinthians to give. Listen to what he says. This first sentence is extraordinary. In the midst of a very severe trial, that's what the Macedonian churches are going through, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. What? Severe trial, overflowing joy, extreme poverty, rich generosity. Listen to where he goes with this. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. There's just something so beautiful about the way that that's written. It is the kingdom generosity ethic. It's the way that God's kingdom works. I want to participate with God. I want to give. I want to share. I want to be a part of what God is doing. These churches did that, and Paul is using them as poster children to get the Corinthian believers on board. Now, you probably want to say, wait a minute, this church is strapped. They're poor. They've got relatively little, and yet they are pulling out the stops. They jumped aboard with both feet. And I think that the four things that are juxtaposed here, the four phrases, are incredible. Crazy severe trial, overflowing and overwhelming joy, extreme poverty and lack, rich generosity. Expand your reach. You probably don't feel like you have very much. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Whatever that you have, give. Whatever you have, participate with it. Put it into kingdom business. Don't stay on the sideline. Don't just kind of, you know, sit on the edge of the pool and dabble your feet in. Jump all the way in. Let the Lord use you in powerful ways. Expand your reach. And so with this, I'm just going to take the same statement that I made before and say it just a different way. With Jesus, then, we see opportunities in crisis, trials, and trouble. We see opportunities rather than obstacles. This is the message I believe that God has for us, not just this morning, but to reverberate in our hearts going forward. And so what do I believe that the Lord wants us to do in this whole thing? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have six things to contribute here. The first one is that we have felt committed to, to have a much more increased online presence. And that online presence is to sow seeds and to sow lots and lots and lots of seeds. It's interesting the way that the online community is, I think it'd be easy for us to say, well, this is just a flaky community. They can just tune in and then tune out when they disagree with something. But they still got a seed. And seeds have a crazy way of getting into the places where the Lord wants them. And so we want to increase our online presence and our seed sowing in that. I think that that's obvious, but I think that I didn't really want this. So the Lord had to actually kind of take down the U.S. economy to get me in the playing field on this, but it worked. And so with this, what we're doing and what part of my response is, because I care about you, is that I believe that if I can, the Lord has put so much content and has invested in me over 61 years. And so I'm just giving these little devos every day. I do the Monday, a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I do a Facebook Live broadcast. It's not because I think I'm anybody great, but the truth gets into people over time with these seeds being sown. And so I'm committed to doing these things. But part of this endeavor of expanding our reach involves you getting on board with that. I'm not doing this to build a following for me. I'm doing this to build a following for the Master. I don't think I'm anybody great. But the Lord doesn't have to have great people to do great things. He never has had to have that. So with that for you, I want to ask you to jump on board. And what I mean by that is I'd like to ask you to listen to the things and comment and jump in, to the discussions and different things and comment and then forward and bring more people into discussion, especially people that are unchurched and especially people that are unsaved, that Are they feeling the heat? Are they feeling the pressure in this? Hey, I think this message might give them some hope. Or I think this message might help them to connect with God and with me and different kind of things like that. So this is what I'm told. I'm not an expert in these things, but I understand that for a YouTube channel, you're supposed to subscribe. I'm already subscribed, obviously. In this, but the social media platforms, you subscribe, you comment, you forward, you invite others to join in. You do all of those different things. And what's interesting to me is that we have people listening from all over the country and in different places in the world as well. I can say that I only know of two, but I can still say that because there are two. There are some people that listen to us regularly in Cambodia, and there are some people that listen to us in Armenia. And out of that, well, then we're international, so there you go. But that's not the point. The point is that this message travels, and I don't have to be there to get to them. Do you hear what a luxury that is? What a phenomenal opportunity that is. And I am typically a person that's just going to sit back and say, nah, I'm going to be suspicious of this. I'm not suspicious. I'm actually really hopeful. I'm kind of doggedly positive in this whole thing, and that's really not me. It has to be God. So the first thing we're doing is to increase our online presence. The second thing that goes with that is that we're trying to raise up a team here at church. There are three of us in the room right now with face masks on and everything. I don't have one on because it's just too weird to talk with a face mask on. But with all of that said, I think it's important to say we're raising up a team to broadcast and to harness social media and to expand the kingdom cause of Jesus through these different technological means. And we need you, those of you that have technological expertise, those of you that have desire to even learn some of these things that are kind of techie people, we want you in on this team. We need you in on this. We're working our tails off on this, but we really need some help on it. So would you come and join us? And how would you do that? Well, I would say email us, you know, email me at bob@thespringcc.org or melissa@thespringcc.org or any of us leaders, just get the word to us. We'll figure out a way to get you to participate. We'll figure out a way to train you with 6 feet in between you and the other people. But all of those things, we need you on the team. So those are the two kind of tech pieces of this. And I would say that the tech stuff is broadcasting the seed. Now, if you remember Matthew 13, Jesus talks about this parable of the sower. And the sower goes on, the seed goes on all these different kinds of ground. And you think, you know, the sower could just like go to the good ground. He doesn't have to sow the seed everywhere. That's just not how seed sowing happens in the Middle East at that point in time. What is called is they broadcast the seed goes literally everywhere, and what grows is what God intended to grow. And so we're in this tech business, we're looking to broadcast the seed. Get the seed everywhere and let the Lord decide which ones take. So that's how this is working for us. A third thing is, I want to ask you to become active in expanding your personal reach in your neighborhood and in your social sphere. That is to say that you don't just stay at home and play video games, that you don't just binge watch every minute of the day that you can, or go just keep to yourself. Establish some relationships. Keep your social distance. Use common sense in this, but don't isolate yourself. Instead, look at your neighborhood, look at your social sphere through the eyes of Jesus and say, these are people for whom he died and he wants them adopted into his family. And perhaps you are the agency, the adoption agency, to get them in by simply reaching out and being active with them. Keep your eyes open. Check in on the elderly in your neighborhood, even if you don't know them well. Just say, hey, I know who you are. You don't know me, but I just want to know, is there anything that we can do for you? And that brings me to the fourth thing, that meet a need whenever you become aware of it. Wherever it is, just if you see a need, meet it. If you see a need and you have the means to actually do something about it, do something about it. Don't sit on the sideline. I think that that's self-evident, but I think that most of us just sit on the sideline and say, I wonder if that's the Lord or not. Instead of saying, if you notice the need, maybe that's actually God's invitation. I love the way that Henry Blackaby puts this. He says, when you notice God at work, it is your invitation to join him in his work. So when you notice a need, 9 times out of 10, That's God's invitation for you to say, hey, would you jump in with me? Maybe you can't meet the whole need. That's okay. Just jump in and care. A fifth thing, pay attention to the creative ideas that come to you. Pay attention and then act on them. Pay attention to the creative ideas. There are things that will come through your mind that God is birthing by the Spirit that if you don't write them down and you don't do something with, they just will go in one ear and out the other. But if you do pay attention and you say, gosh, that's kind of a creative thing, I think I'll go do that. I heard of a woman who's actually in our church who actually has signed up to be a part of a ministry. Basically, it's a, I don't even know that it's a church ministry kind of a thing, but it's just a call line for people that need someone to talk to. I think it's a non-Christian thing, but people need somebody to talk to at this point in time. That's a really big deal. Some people are going crazy with this isolation, and they just want somebody to talk to them. And so you could be a friend on the phone for somebody you don't even know and be a kingdom agent by doing so. Pay attention to the creative ideas that come to you. And the last thing is, when the Spirit opens the door, opens the opportunity, if somebody says, you know, you seem to be somewhat content in this, why? Tell them your story. It's nothing from me. It's this God that I know that has saved me, and he's stabilized me. I'm not perfect in that, but I'm much better than I would have been if I didn't have him in my life. So in that, tell your story. The Lord will give you opportunities if you're looking. Expand your reach. Say it with me. Expand your reach. What we've seen here is that God sees opportunities in our troubles, and because we're on his team, so do we. Expand your reach. Don't sit on the sideline. Don't use this as a time to, you know, do all of the home projects that you want to do. Do some of your home projects, but look for opportunities to expand your reach, because God is doing something and he wants you and I a part of it. And today, I believe that the Lord is calling us into it. He's not leaving anybody on the bench. He's not leaving anybody in the stands. He's saying, everybody on the field, right now, get on the field. You're like, but I'm not even a football player. It's like, we're not playing football. We're playing something else. And I'll teach you how to play, what you need to play, but get on the field. We're all going to be on the field together. And I want to help you in any way that I possibly can. There's a bunch of people in our church that want to help you in any way that we can to get onto the playing field to expand your reach. And with that, would you pray with me, please? Lord, obviously I'm excited about this. That I don't believe that this is trivial at all. I believe that you have created for us an on-ramp onto a freeway of activity that is already in progress, and we get to participate. And maybe even get to be some movers and shakers in what you're doing, and we want to do whatever part that you want us to play. Now, I would just say, and I want to ask everybody here that's listening to this to basically say this thing, and it's a goofy prayer, but it's kind of it's coming from that John Fogerty song, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. Put me in, Lord, I'm ready to play. This is what Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. Lord, I pray that you would be working in our hearts and that this week it would be opportunity after opportunity, after opportunity. Small ones, great ones, everything in between. Opportunities. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Expand your reach. I feel very confident that that is not my word. It's your word to us. So let it go deep into the soil of our hearts. I ask this all, Jesus, in your name, and for your glory. Amen.